Well, praise the Lord. We'll just give praise to the Lord. We thank you for tuning in to our broadcast here today, and we'll be teaching on a subject called sin. And, of course, there's a price for sin. And thank God that Jesus Christ paid the price so that we don't have to pay it. We just have to acknowledge our sin, and we have to come to Him and receive forgiveness and become born again. So get close to your radio and let's pray. And get your Bible where you can. Get your Bible, and so you can follow along with some scriptures. And we want to talk on the subject of sin today. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the opportunity and the privilege to minister your word in this time of teaching. And Lord, we just thank you and praise you for your anointed word. And God, we thank you, Lord, that you give us wisdom and understanding and open up the understanding of those that might receive this. And God, we give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. On the subject of sin, the Bible says in 1 John 5 and 17, all unrighteousness is sin. Now, Romans 14 and 23 says, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So there are many different ways. And we, of course, we got the sins of, outright sins that God says by his word that these people that commit these sins will no wise enter into the kingdom of God. And there is no way that sin is going to go through the gates of heaven. So it must be dealt with. It must be purged by the blood. And 1 John 3 and 4 said, whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And of course, that's God's word, the law of the word. The Old Testament, naturally, they had those that was under the law and the precepts of the law, but thank God that that has been done away with, and we were ushered into the kingdom of where Jesus Christ went to Calvary and paid the price. This is the New Testament age, and we are those which can receive forgiveness through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We teach a lot on the blood. Bible said without the shedding of the blood, there'd be no remission for sin. So there must be a price paid for sin. When sin entered into the world, that was through the first Adam, through his disobedience, sin entered into the world. And through that, then we all become literally, that's where labor come in. From that time forth, we had the labor, earn the living, the sweat of the brow, come down to the point that, we've really seen a season this year of weeds and grass, and you almost had to keep your lawnmower idle and run out and keep them cut down, because every two or three days you had to mow. And we would not have any of that problem. There would be no weeds. You could plant your garden, not worry about bugs or weeds taking it over. But because of sin, because the first Adam was disobedient to God, then sin entered in. A woman would never have a childbirth pains and labor and all the stuff women go through. Would never had that if there had not been sin. But because of sin brought about all these things, all was brought under the condemnation of sin, not just the first Adam, but all, every person was. And knowing that that was what took place, and knowing according to the word of God and the purpose of God, knowing that all became sinners. And then by the obedience of Jesus Christ, which is referred to as the second Adam, then according to that, we all became partakers of grace. And thank God for marvelous grace. Thank God for the working of Calvary and what he did on Calvary for you and I. But understand that all transgression against the law of God, against God's word. Some people say, well, they're little sins and big sins. Sin is sin, and it is, the word said, it is the transgression. It is that which we're doing that's contrary to God. And we were all sinners. All have sinned and fell short of the glory of God. And that's the reason we need a Savior. Then in James 4 and 17, Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Then as we move on and we look in the Old Testament in Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. Verse 2 goes on to say, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sin have hid his face from you that he will not hear. And so we come to the understanding that there's a separation takes place. And some say you lose fellowship. Some say you backslide. Different preachers refer to it in many different ways. But if you continue in your sin, you do become a backslider. Your heart becomes hardened against God. But, you know, the Bible tells us, you know, if we bear a chastisement, If you feel rotten when you sin, if you know in your heart and soul that you've made a mistake, and you know that I shouldn't have done that and that was wrong, then if you go forth against that, you're striving against the Spirit. You're working against the Spirit, because the Spirit automatically convicts you. And he... according to the word, if you don't have this chastisement, then he uses the term bastard, and a lot of people don't like that word. But in other words, God's saying, you don't belong to me. I'm not your father. You know, you don't belong to me. And so understand that when you get whipped for doing wrong, that's a good sign. It may be not good you get whipped, but it's good the fact that you know that God is there for you. And the Bible says, you know, I hear people say, well, you know, you backslide, you can't get back to God. Get out of fellowship, you can't get back in fellowship. That's not true, according to God's word. According to God's word, that he will deal with you. He will woo you. The Bible says he's married to the backslider. He's going to deal with you till you come back to him and you restore that fellowship you need. Now, there is a place, we won't get into that today, but there is a place that you send away your days of grace. There is a place that God don't call you anymore. He don't chastise you anymore. You don't want to go to that place. You don't want to be in that predicament. You don't want to ever get to that point. You want to do something while you can, while you have opportunity. Now, the Bible says in John, in the first epistle of John, in the first chapter, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, verse 10 really puts an impact on it. This is epistle of John, first John in chapter 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us has failed. Every one of us has sinned. So we need a Savior. We must have a Savior, and we must come to him for that cleansing. And I believe this. I believe that we have to remit a sin. And I believe any sin that's not acknowledged and remitted cannot be forgiven. I've had people to argue with me on that point. But if you go in a self-righteous attitude, well, I'm justified, I can do what I want to, then you're going to get in trouble. Because God gives us the categories of sin: the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, first of all, and then the lust of the eye, and then the pride of life. That old expression, keeping up with Joneses, is a problem. It leads to sin. That which you please the flesh leads to sin. That which the eye sees and looks at and desires and wants and covets leads to sin. So when we're drawn away from God in these three categories, the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, then we get in the problem with sin. But also, as I was explaining, We must come to God with an attitude, God, I've failed. We must be sorry of our sins. We must not be in an attitude, well, I go to so-and-so church, or I'm this or I'm that. You can't offer God anything. You can't offer anything but the blood. You can't offer him your righteousness. The Bible said they're always filthy rags. But we must offer him the blood and say, Father, I'm coming to you in the name of Jesus through his blood. Now the Bible says, on going into the second chapter of the first epistle of John, my little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father through Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he goes on to explain here, and he is, this is in verse 2, he is the perpetuation of our sins. That word perpetuation means that that's the price paid. And not for our only, not just for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. He has the power to forgive sin. He has the power to set us free from sin. And thank God for that. Thank God that he can forgive us, and he has power to forgive. The Bible says in Romans in the 3rd chapter, we find these words. We find that God simply says in verse 23, for all who have sinned and come short of the glory of God. My friend, that's the reason we need a Savior. We need a Redeemer. We need someone that can pay the price, or has paid the price. He died once without the gate. He don't have to go back and keep redying. He's already died one time. He's already paid the price, and it won't never have to be paid again. He has paid it according to the word of God. And the word says in Romans in the 6th chapter, what say we shall then, we say, are we going to do this according to the word? Shall we continue in our sins that grace may abound? God forbid. Now shall we that are dead in sin, or how shall we that are dead in sin live any longer therein? For you know not that as many of you were baptized in Jesus Christ were baptized unto his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we are also should walk in the newness of life. The old nature's gone. The old man is gone. We should be a brand new creation in Christ. We should be that person that's been washed, that's been cleaned. Bible talks about how we bring forth that which is, meat for our repentance, our salvation, that it proves to the world and those look upon us that we have been separated and we're no longer a victim of sin, and we're no longer controlled by sin. We're separated from that life. We're a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. And thank God that we are that brand new creation in Christ Jesus. Now, as I explained, we've all sinned. We've all fell short. We've all failed. And the wages, the Bible said, there is a wage for that sin, and that wage is death. For all have sinned and fell short of the glory of God. That is the payday for it. That is the price that we have to pay. Then in closing of this teaching session, we're going to look at Romans, the 10th chapter, and we're going to look at verse 9 starting. For if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture said, whosoever believeth on him should not be ashamed. Therefore, according to this, in 12th verse, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, as the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever calleth upon the Lord, calleth upon that name, the word said, of the Lord, shall be saved. So today, if you sin, acknowledge it, remit it to God, and accept that he said, little children, I wish you sin not. But if you do, you got an advocate. An advocate is like an attorney. Someone pleads your case. So today, if you're not saved, bow your head with me and ask the Lord to save you. Lord, save to the uttermost that which would call upon you and believe in the heart and confess with the mouth. Restore that fellowship. Renew not that person with you. And God, we ask you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, heal, work miracles. Do that which is your pleasure and your will. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. God keep you.